Hello and welcome to a new episode of Other Record Labels. I'm your host, Scott Orr, where we talk about the art and culture of running an independent record label. Today's question is, what happens when your record label contract ends? If you're an artist or if you're a record label and you have a contract with an artist and the term, which means the length of how long that contract applies to your relationship or is valid, when that time period comes to an end. I had someone email me about today's topic, a dear friend, which is nice to get ideas for shows. Please email me or message me anytime. This was an artist, someone who is curious about what happens when an artist and a record label come to the end of their contract. This isn't necessarily a bad thing. I'm not talking about divorce or a fallout. I mean, sometimes, I guess that's the reality. But in a lot of cases, it's just this natural state of things when the term length ends. It's a great topic, one that's maybe hard to address in the moment, so I'm excited to tackle it. And in order to get an accurate gauge on how end of terms should be dealt with, I decided to reach out to a little community of experts in our record label community for some advice. I talked to a few labels and a lawyer to find out how they handle things. And there's a lot to unpack here, a lot. A huge shout out to this week's sponsor, A to Z Media, a manufacturing company who make not only vinyl records, and they certainly do that, but they specialize in bespoke packaging options that include posters and hype stickers, like we talked about last week, custom approaches to cassettes, CDs, books, and of course, vinyl. I think record labels need to take the album as a whole more seriously. I think records and physical media is a luxury, and we need to make sure we are making records that people want to collect. I don't really think it makes sense to just make a physical version of what they can get on Spotify. Records should be substantial, collectible, intimate, and memorable. So do that. Visit atozmedia.com. The link is in the description of this episode, but go to atozmedia.com to get a quote on your next release. When an artist's contract ends, there's kind of three common scenarios. Let's start here. First of all, the record label owns the masters in perpetuity. This is scenario number one. So there really is no end to the contract. It's kind of, if this is your situation, then you don't really need to listen to today's episode because in a way your contract doesn't end. There's a lot of labels who operate like this. We covered this topic last summer. If a label has invested significantly into the making, recording, mastering, manufacturing of a record, perhaps they feel like they own those recordings forever. Perhaps the term is over, that the artist is no longer beholden to the label for future releases, but that specific release is still and always will be administered by that label. That's what we refer to as owning the masters. Is that right or wrong? I already addressed that last summer in an episode. You can listen to that. I'm not going to get into it today. The second scenario, number two, is where the contract term was for something like 5 years. The 5 years expires, but both parties are happy with how things are going. The artist isn't necessarily interested in self-re-releasing this project and is happy to have the album stay with the label. This is where a contract generally states that the album will just auto-renew until one party wishes to end things. This could be on a monthly, quarterly, or yearly basis. A label may require something like 60 or even 90 days notice to end things, to pull the music down off of streaming platforms, etc. Generally, if an album isn't experiencing any sort of long tail or consistent plays on digital, perhaps the first run of vinyl is already sold out, then an artist is happy to have the contract renew itself automatically. Scenario number three is where an artist says, our 5 year or our 7 year term is up, and I'd like to take these masters back. I'd like to do a run of tapes myself. I'd like to upload these songs under my own DistroKid account and retain 100% of the streaming revenue. The very simplest way to determine, okay, so those are our three scenarios, right? And does that sound, I mean, listen, there are millions of little nuanced scenarios where you and your artist, but a lot of the cases is one, the contract in a way with that release never ends. Number two is the contract's up, but both parties kind of want to just keep things status quo, keep things the same. And number three is the artist says, no, I want my masters back. I want you to stop collecting on my behalf. And we're basically transferring the release over to the artist. The very simplest way to determine where you're at with your artist or with your record label, if you are an artist, is to read your contract. This will tell you which of these three camps you're in. If you're a record label who has an artist signed to your label, a lot of these details will be in your contract. If you're an artist, read your contract. If you're listening to this episode before you have a contract in place, these are things that are helpful to know now. Things to decide on now ahead of time for how you think a fair, you and the artist, or you and the record label if you are the artist, how you think a fair dissolution should look like. A lot of you are listening to this as record labels because you want to know how to set up a fair deal for you and your artists. What's the norm? What is a modern, equitable approach to how a contract dissolves or ends? And I think there's a lot of people in our community, like I said, we're not going to get into the owning the masters thing, but there's a lot of people in our community, especially new labels, smaller indies that are saying, we're not going to own the masters outright. Instead, we're going to license the masters. And so that means the record label, the artist has the masters, which means like the 10 WAV files that were mastered. It's the final album audio files. And they're going to license that to a record label for a period of time. And so today's topic is kind of addressing what happens when that certain period of time comes to an end. If you're an artist, you have to be proactive. And you have a lot of homework. If you are hoping to retain your masters or to take back your masters and self-release them, you have a lot of homework. And you need to start this process at least 6 months before the end of the agreement. It's kind of the fair thing to do, especially if you're going to be adding a lot of administrative responsibilities to the record label. I mean, listen, it's their job. It's something they've signed up for. But this is something that you're going to need to be very hands-on. You had a label who was helping you take care of the administrative side of things. That's one of the best parts of having the label. But now you're becoming your own label. If you're going to, now, unless you're maybe transferring this to another record label, which is another scenario, but if you're going to now be self-releasing the audio files, you're now becoming your own label. So there's some tasks that you're going to have to get comfortable with. Don't assume that record labels have alerts on their calendar for when your contract ends. Don't assume that they're going to call you that day and say, what would you like us to do with your files? Or that they're going to call you 3 months ahead of time. If you're a record label, you have responsibilities. And when we talk to our lawyer friend, you know, the fact of the matter is you might want to put an alert on your calendar. You might want to set an alert on your iCal for 5 years from when the contract commenced. And maybe 5 years minus 3 months, and you reach out to the artist and say, your contract is coming to an end. Here's what we'd like to offer. Maybe renew the contract on a 90-day basis or a yearly basis, or maybe the contract stipulates that it auto-renews unless they request their masters back. And so it wouldn't hurt for you to kind of be proactive in the same way that I suggest the artist be proactive. You should ethically help artists. I mean, it's not your responsibility, but should they want to transition to a different record label or transition their music to self-releasing, it's good to help them. It really is. I know there's, you know, probably nothing in it for you at this point. The album has stopped selling, or even if it is selling, you're basically moving it away from your revenue stream into solely their revenue stream. But it's really good if you can be generous and take some time to help the artists. The easiest thing, I think you're thinking, is the easiest thing is to keep going, right? For both people, I mean, it's a lot for the artists to set up a new account. It might be more costly than they had in mind. And if it's a record, like I said, if it's the end of the long tail, then it may not be worth it to move it if both parties are just fine to let it kind of sunset on the label that it was first released on. Let's go ahead and answer some frequently asked questions when it comes to this topic. And these are the questions that I sent out to our little hive mind of a successful, reputable record labels. And I wanted to see what was common with them. And of course, I also asked our friend Will, our music attorney friend, some of these questions as well. So let's answer this question. What if the contract never ends? Should the contract never end? Okay, well, we talked about this in our episode about record labels owning the masters. I've already said that. I shared what is most common, and I explained the viewpoints from both sides of licensing the masters from the artist for a certain amount of time versus owning the masters outright forever. For this episode, let's assume the label is licensing the masters for a certain amount of time. How long should the contract be? If you're a record label and you're going to license these 10 songs, or it's an EP, it's 3 songs, or it's just one single, if you're going to license this album, what is fair? How long should the contract be? And if you're an artist, what can you expect from a record label? Well, I'm hearing from people, this is the most common that I'm hearing. I'm hearing 5 to 7 years is most common. I've seen things that are closer to 15 to 20 years. I was offered something recently in that length, and it kind of made me squirmishy. Man, never said that word before. Squirmish. I don't even know what it is. I'll Google it later, or you can email me. I think even 5 years can feel a little intimidating, but I think it's fair. And remember, I mean, if you're licensing for 1 year or for 2 years, this kind of like, and that's, by the way, I think that date, usually contracts stipulate that that timeline starts from the release date. So it's not like when you meet the label, and it's not even necessarily when you sign the contract. Sometimes it's from when your first release comes out. That's when the clock starts ticking. I think that 5 to 7 seems to be the most common. I think it's fair, even though it's a little intimidating. If we go too low, we're talking about this big arduous transfer process. I don't think the label or the artist wants to deal with that too early in the relationship. So I think 5 years is kind of fair. 10 years is not unheard of. And on the other end of the spectrum, 2 to 3 years is also not unheard of. So that's why I'm going to say 5. And when I talk to our group and when I've talked to people on the show, I've heard 5 to 7 is the most common. Can a contract renew itself? According to our music attorney, Will McSevenly, unless the contract specifically states that it will auto-renew yearly or quarterly, then it should be assumed that the agreement ends. And it's the responsibility of the record label to take down the music. It's not something an artist should have to hound their label about. A few labels, however, I spoke with have a clause in their contracts that state that the label will continue to distribute the music and abide by all of the terms of the original contract in perpetuity until the artist asks them to stop. And usually it's stipulated in the contract that the label needs about 30 days minimum. I'd give myself 60 or 90 just because a couple things. First of all, I'm a procrastinator. I'm lazy. But you have to go into your portal with your distributor and you have to help them with the transition, which we'll talk about in a second. And then if you take down the music, sometimes that can actually take a little while. But here's the thing. So if you don't have a contract yet, this is something you may want to include. The auto renew, I think, is good, like I mentioned, because it absolves the record label from legally having to remove all of the songs on the day the contract ends. And in a lot of cases, artists would not want you to do that as it would affect their fans. So auto renewing, I think, is a really cool thing. A lot of the labels we talk to say that if you don't give them 30 days notice from when the contract expires, then it automatically renews for an entire year. I think it's kind of cool to say, listen, you know, we're going to keep it up there until you figure out what you want to do. And then when you're ready to take it down, you need to give us a month or 2 months notice. So what happens to the music on streaming services? This is where my label friends offered some very specific advice. It is a very delicate balance of timing and alignment. This should all really be done months in advance, but the artist should open an account with a digital distributor. The label should provide the metadata to the artist, and that means things like artwork, release dates, ISRCs, barcodes. And assuming the artist has had the WAV files, the artist would then upload the release or multiple releases to their digital distributor. For a few days or a few weeks, there would be duplicate versions of that album or that single. Once there are duplicate versions on Apple and Spotify, the label would go ahead and issue a takedown on their end. So this, the reason why we do this, I've done it many times. It's intimidating. It's scary. However, generally, 99 times out of 10, you are able to retain your streaming numbers. You're able to retain the user-generated playlists that your songs have been placed on, or even the Spotify editorial playlists that you've been placed on. So if you upload a duplicate using the same barcode, the same audio, the same artwork, and the same ISRCs, then you'll see a duplicate of the album or a duplicate of the single. Then the label issues a takedown on their end, and it should be a seamless process aside from those several days where there's a duplicate album. But your song should stay on the playlist that they were placed on, and they definitely will retain their streaming numbers. I've done it before multiple times, and it's all worked out fine. Another way to do it is a much easier way, is you could have the artist use the same distributor as the label, if it's possible. Then there's a chance that the distributor could move the releases in the back end from inside the label account over to the artist's account. I know that CD Baby can do that, and it's a way smoother process than the artist having to upload everything. So if the artist can open an account with the same distributor as the record label, then there is a kind of sometimes an easier way to do it in the back end of the distributor. So what do you do with the metadata? As I just mentioned, the record label should kindly provide the artist with their releases metadata. This includes artwork, ISRCs, which stands for International Standard Recording Code, which is an individual code for each song, each track, each recording. Each release, like a single, an EP, a live album, or a full-length record, will have one barcode for that whole release that contains multiple songs or just one song if it's a single. Other metadata can include the release dates, when the singles, pre-release singles, or the album was released. This does sound arduous, and if you're a record label, you're probably thinking, wait, I'm a one-person operation. I don't have time to dig through my files and find this information to give an artist that is leaving. There's no benefit in this for me. I get it, but hopefully this is something you've agreed to at the start of the relationship, and more importantly, hopefully you have an organized spreadsheet of this information. You can just copy and paste it and send it in an email. So what do you do with your relationship? If things have turned sour, this is the music industry equivalent of going to your ex's house to pick up your belongings and to fight over who gets the cat. If this separation is on rocky terms, if one party feels a little bit hurt or cheated in a way, this could be difficult. And I understand that. And hopefully in those cases, the contract can kind of work as your mediator between both parties. And maybe, honestly, you might have to get your lawyer involved just to kind of clarify, maybe both lawyers get involved and to say, this is what the label's required to do, this is what the artist is required to do. But there are completely normal scenarios where an artist has grown, learned a lot, and is excited to try to self-release things on their own. Perhaps they have another release on a different label, or they're one of those artists who likes to release on multiple record labels. So record labels, don't take it personal. Put on your big boy pants or your big girl pants. You're a business. You just need to act like one. Yeah, this is not like a super fun, super profitable part of the job. Or what about this? What about being a record label that is overly generous, artist-friendly, a label who works tirelessly for their artists so that when the contract ends, that maybe this artist has no desire to go anywhere. I mean, you could be a record label that says, okay, listen, if you want to go on your own, I'm going to help you. I'm a proud parent. You go and I'll give you the tools that you need to go out on your own. Or you could just be the record label that's so damn great that they never want to leave. What do you do? This is a great question. What do you do with physical inventory? So if a record label paid to press 1,000 copies of your vinyl record, and at the end of the contract, there are still 100 units left, So again, this all depends on your agreement, which means your contract. 99% of the time, a contract should state that the label has the right to sell off the remaining inventory as they had been and continue to pay the artist royalties on those records. Just because an artist is no longer under contract with the label doesn't mean that a label shouldn't show its historic releases and to be able to offer remaining quantities of their alumni artists. When a label is selling off inventory of an artist or of an artist that's no longer under contract, the label is generally still required to pay royalties on those sales. So just because they're allowed to continue selling after the contract is done, they still have to abide by the original royalty terms of that contract. There's also a fair solution where the label can offer those remaining records to the artist at cost or something similar. This is a heavy topic. It's awkward in a way, but I hope you found it helpful. You might need to just bookmark this topic. If you go to our website, otherrecordlabels.com, on the main page, you can search by topic. And if you're a new listener, or if you've been listening only in the past 2 years, this show's been going on for 6 years. And so we have a lot of episodes and a lot of like super nuanced and didactic topics that I've covered over the years. And so if you go to the homepage, otherrecordlabels.com, you can actually, there's an alphabetical listing of all the topics we've covered, and you can listen to that episode, download any free resources that are available. And you can also read the episode as an article. And I will put this article in that alphabetical list. So go to otherrecordlabels.com. If you need a lawyer, then we have some great lawyers in our directory. Just go to otherrecordlabels.com/directory. Your biggest takeaway here is that it's all about the contract. So if you're an artist about to sign with a label, talk about this part of the deal with your lawyer ahead of time. If you're a new record label, think about how you want this to go down 5 years from now or 7 years from now and get it on paper. For the most part, there isn't necessarily like a normal way or a legal base point for this. You can ultimately do whatever you and the artist agree to. If you have the luxury of time and you haven't yet entered an agreement, and maybe, listen, maybe if you have and you're into year one of your 5-year agreement, you can still reach out to your lawyer and amend that contract and say, hey, this is what we want to do at the end of the term and, you know, something that you and the artist agree to. Big topic, real, real big topic. I hope you found it helpful. And another huge shout out to the people who help us do weekly episodes where we can kind of go through some of these fun topics sometimes and sometimes these heavy topics like today's topic. But fun topics include making records and pressing records, something that you can do with our sponsor, A to Z Media. Go to azmedia.com. The link is in the description. Thanks for being a listener.